Endometriosis affects 1 in 10 women of reproductive age in the United States. In honor of Endometriosis Awareness Month, we're joined by Dr. Jennifer Hirschfeld-Citrin, who is board-certified in both obstetrics and gynecology and infertility, and Brittany, an FCI patient affected by endometriosis. This is the Time to Talk Fertility podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Howell. Dr. Hirschfeld-Citrin and Brittany, it's so wonderful to have you with us today. And Dr. Hirschfeld, let's start with you. Just what is endometriosis?
Well, first, thank you so much for having us. Endometriosis is when the lining of the uterus, or the endometrium, is found outside the uterine cavity. When this occurs, it can create pain and issues of infertility.
And what are the symptoms of endometriosis?
For some, the symptoms of endometriosis are quite subtle. So they actually don't necessarily know that they have it unless a surgery is done for a different purpose and it's visually seen. But for many that have what we call clinical endometriosis, they describe pain with their periods as being quite significant. So you will talk to these women and they will describe having to take Advil more than is recommended. They take days off of work. They plan their life around their cycle.
Dr. Hirschfeld-Citrin, do you see a lot of patients with endometriosis, and have they been diagnosed with endometriosis before seeing you?
I definitely see a fair amount of women with endometriosis. I would say probably half had been diagnosed or at least had suspicion before seeing me in terms of this very significantly painful period.
Now, Brittany, you are a patient who has endometriosis. Can you share a little bit about yourself and how you found out that you had endometriosis?
Yes, Deborah, absolutely. So about 4 years ago, I was at work and I started to experience what I would call probably the worst cramping that I've ever had in my life. I currently was on my cycle and the pain was so severe that I thought I was going to pass out. It was that bad that I literally just grabbed my laptop and I walked out of the office. I saw a coworker. I said, I'm not feeling well. I need to leave right now. I hopped in an Uber. I got home. I took some ibuprofen and I called my OBGYN. The pain started to subside, thankfully, when I took some medication. The next day, I then did go to my OBGYN for an ultrasound and they told me that I had a large cyst that was on my right ovary. And then I later found out that this was an endometrioma, which is caused by endometriosis.
Dr. Hirschfeld, how is endometriosis typically diagnosed, and can it be diagnosed by your general practitioner or OBGYN, or do you need to see a specialist?
So first, your OBGYN or your general practitioner absolutely can diagnose endometriosis. To technically make the diagnosis, it requires a surgery, a laparoscopy often, where a camera is placed into the abdomen to visually look for endometriosis. Endometriosis, though, there's a high clinical suspicion when someone has very painful cycles, pain that really impacts your activities of daily living, pain that extends beyond simply just the time of your period, pain that can create difficulty with intercourse, urinating, or bowel movements. In those cases, imaging can also be done, like an ultrasound, like Brittany described, or an endometrioma, or an endometriosis of the ovary can be seen. Unfortunately, with imaging, we can miss a lot of endometriosis. So truly to be diagnosed, it is a surgery, but with a very high clinical suspicion and an ultrasound, you can make what I would call a clinical diagnosis that can still allow someone to focus on treatment, which is what can we do to make your cycles less painful?
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. Now, Brittany, a lot of patients go undiagnosed for years. What was your experience like, and how long was it from when you started noticing symptoms until you got diagnosed?
Yeah, so what was interesting in my case is that I had this horrible pain that I'd never had before. I found out I had this endometrioma. And what I was so just thrown off guard about is for years I had irregular periods that were very heavy. But, you know, of course, you go to Google when you find out that your doctor is giving you a diagnosis. And I'm reading everything and just what Dr. Hirschfeld-Citrin had described about what typical women have. You know, I think everyone has their own story. And mine, I didn't have all those additional types of pain. What happened, though, is once I did find out that I had this endometrioma, then I did start having more pain with my cycles and even weeks after. And really, I did, as Dr. Hirschfeld-Citrin had mentioned, I was planning my life around this. You know that this pain's coming. And even with over-the-counter medication, it's just not helpful.
Yeah. And so I'm curious now, Brittany, how did you feel when you were actually diagnosed?
Back to what I was saying before, it was a big surprise. Like I said, the heavy periods were there, the irregular periods. It's two of the things of many that many women with endometriosis experience, and that pain wasn't there. So I was kind of just so bewildered by the diagnosis.
Dr. Hirschfeld, why does endometriosis go undiagnosed or misdiagnosed so very often?
I think there's probably a lot of reasons for this. One of which that you're taught that the formal way to make the diagnosis is a surgery. And so many will sort of shy away from that, or perhaps not have a tertiary or specialty center to send patients so they can have the proper surgery. I think some of which is people get used to living with pain. And so perhaps they're not bringing it up to their physician because to them, this is their normal, or they don't even know that this isn't normal. And I think it's a combination of factors. It's the challenging way that it's diagnosed and the way in which many women have sort of just accepted living with pain.
How is endometriosis treated?
So when the goal is not to conceive, the initial treatment will be something that stops that train. We want to stop someone having their period. And so you can use the simplest is things like a continuous birth control pill. And what that does, it works to sort of stop that bleeding that goes retrograde through the tubes that just sort of builds on that scarring and inflammation. And that can be with a pill, that can be with a NuvaRing. There are different ways that IUDs can thin the lining and minimize bleeding. So there's different medications that can be done. You can build beyond those. There is something called a GnRH agonist, something called Lupron. There are now different versions of GnRH antagonists or LISA that can be used to medically treat endometriosis. The challenge is each and every medication is at odds with pregnancy. It's sort of shutting everything down. For those who desire to conceive, it either is focusing on fertility treatments and potentially not as much the pain, or it's considered surgery where we remove the endometriosis and leaving the organs vital to fertility alone.
Okay, that kind of goes to my next question was, how does endometriosis affect fertility and someone's ability to get pregnant?
So some of the ways that endometriosis affects fertility is it can create scarring. So if you can envision visually sort of this process where that, again, that bleeding goes retrograde or backwards through the tubes, and it creates scarring. And the tube is like this structure that moves in space like a garden hose. And so if there's adhesions, it's like tying a bow on a gift. And it ties off part of that garden hose, and it makes it hard for egg and sperm to connect. And so that's scarring that can impact someone's fertility based on how it impacts the ability of that tube to function. Endometriosis can impact egg quality. Endometriosis can also impact the ability of the embryo to successfully implant in the cavity. So it can have impacts on various levels of fertility.
Now the good part. What fertility treatment options are available for women suffering from endometriosis?
So depending on how endometriosis is impacting your fertility, there can be quite a varied amount. So if it is not an issue of scarring of a tube, in some cases, what we simply are doing is giving medicines to increase the number of eggs released and treatment like insemination to help sperm into the cavity. So we're really enhancing natural conceiving. In some cases where the tube is being impacted, then we want to create a system where egg and sperm can meet outside of the fallopian tube, and that becomes in vitro fertilization.
Got it. Back to you, Brittany. Can you talk to us about your experience with infertility and getting pregnant with endometriosis?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Deborah, to be honest, I try to be a patient person at times. I think I'm pretty patient, but when you decide that you're ready to have a baby, I think that patience kind of goes out the window. It's an exciting time. You're seeing maybe friends and family that are around the same age as you having children with no issues. And here I was, I had some recurrent fibroid issues. So I'd have them removed, they'd come back, have another surgery to remove them, started seeing Dr. Hirschfeld Citron, talked about the endometrioma I had. And, you know, she mentioned if it's not causing pain, you know, we can kind of proceed with having some IUIs and seeing if that would work before moving to IVF. And so again, back to what she had mentioned before, I think there was still pain there from that endometrioma, but you kind of learn to live with it. You're on this idea as the patient that, oh my gosh, I'm already going through all these fertility procedures. I don't want to have a surgery. And I think that was my biggest fear of having this surgery. After my second failed IUI, it was probably about 2 weeks before the pandemic. So talked to Dr. Hirschfeld. At that time, no one knew what was coming. She said, call me when you get your period again. And sure enough, that's when everything shut down. And that's when the pain started getting really bad. So it's the pandemic. I'm having this horrible pain. Everything that I thought would happen with having IVF was then put on hold. Fast forward to July of 2020, I was able to do a successful egg freezing, which was fantastic. I then, under Dr. Hirschfeld-Citron's recommendation, I did have that laparoscopic endometriosis surgery, which was the best thing that I could have ever done. At the time, you think having a major surgery like that, you know, you're scared, you're concerned, you're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Everything was fine. And I was able to then have my transfer in October of 2020. And I had my son in June of 2021.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So happy for you. Now, it's been suggested that symptoms can improve after having a baby. Did you notice a difference?
I absolutely did. My periods became more regular and the bleeding was not nearly as heavy and there was no pain, which was quite a pleasant surprise. Little did I know I'd have to go through a pregnancy for that to happen, but it was another pleasant surprise after having my son that then that was the outcome. So it was great.
Oh, just so happy for you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with anyone struggling with endometriosis or infertility?
Everyone has their own experiences. And I could say for myself, it's scary. You feel helpless. You feel like you're on this never-ending journey that's not going to produce the results you want. But I hope sharing my story today can help others that are in the same situation. You know, I will say the big thing, leaning in on my husband, especially talking to friends and family about some of the issues I was having. I couldn't believe how many of my other friends had been experiencing endometriosis or infertility issues. I think that a lot of times you might talk about, oh, I have my period, but you're not talking about everything else that kind of comes along with it. And just that transparency will really kind of help navigate a very difficult and scary time.
Beautifully said. Dr. Hirschfeld-Citron, is there anything you'd like to add?
I think I would just like to add, even if your desire is not to be pregnant, there is no reason to live in pain. And so it is important to say something. And if you say something to someone that doesn't listen, then I would find someone else. Because there definitely are treatments that can improve pain. Nobody needs to live with pain. I think that's the most important piece. And also, if and when or if somebody needs surgery, it is, of course, scary. Surgery is always scary. And it's really important who does it. And there are a subset of minimally invasive surgeons who specialize in surgery for endometriosis. And so knowing that you get that connection and knowing that there are those with that level of expertise hopefully provides a peace of mind if surgery is needed, that the outcome can truly change your life in terms of the pain improvement.
Beautiful. Well, this is such wonderful information, Dr. Hirschfeld-Citron and Brittany. Thank you so much for being with us today to share your expertise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Jennifer Hirschfeld-Citron, a reproductive endocrinologist here at FCI, and Brittany, an endometriosis patient at FCI. You can schedule an appointment to talk to a fertility specialist at 877-324-4483 or visit fcionline.com for more information. And if you enjoyed this podcast, you can find more like it in our podcast library. And be sure to give us a like and a follow if you do. This has been the Time to Talk Fertility podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Howell. Have yourself a terrific day.